Good morning. You may be seated. Got your Bibles this morning. Open up to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I want to talk to you this morning about the power to be a witness for Christ. Let's just read this first chapter together. So the former account I make, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, and after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering of many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when we came together, he asked them, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. And this is what I want to focus in on, verse 8 this morning. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Owosso, in the Claremore, in the Pryor, in the Collinsville, in the Tulsa, in No Water, Some Water, in all the ends of the world. Amen? So this is a deal that God has given us. He given us the power to be a witness to him. He wants us to come and realize it's the same power that Jesus had on him. The same anointing that Jesus has on him is the same anointing that is upon us. You know, Acts 10:38 says that how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How many of you want to do good this morning? Listen, you have the power to do good. You have the power to go and to deliver those that are oppressed of the devil. How many know there's a lot of oppression in the world right now? A lot of oppression in our friends right now, in our families. We have the power to go and do, to be a witness for them. Amen? So let's talk about that. If I get this thing to work, will you shoot it at? There it is. He says, you have received power. The Greek word means dunamis power. It's dynamite, explosive power to be a witness. This is where we get the English word dynamite from, this Greek word. It means to have the ability and abundance to do what? Mighty deeds. Workers of miracles. Mighty wonderful works. We have to come to the place in our life where we begin to believe this. No matter what the circumstance looks like, no matter what it is that's going on, a lot of times we let fear grip our heart and we don't witness like we should. We don't share what we've done. Listen, I don't care if you've been saved for 1 hour, one minute. You have something to share with somebody else. You have the greatest miracle of all is seeing somebody coming out of the darkness into the light. When somebody accepts Christ in their life, you have the power to witness. You have the power because it's the witness of us into the world is going to bring about change. Amen? I won't show that right there. I was in Claremore the other day and I had a special camera. And I was taking pictures of this one guy that was witnessing for Jesus. You know, and I had a special lens on that camera. And Robert was over there when I saw him. I saw him going down the road being a witness for Jesus. And this is what it looks like to be on fire for Jesus. Amen? You're like a dynamite. You have dynamite power to be a witness for Christ. You know, you have this fire in you to serve the Lord. That fire comes from within. It comes from the baptism in the Spirit. If you never experienced that, I got it 20 years ago and I've never been the same since. I haven't stopped. I hadn't stopped witnessing. I continue to share with people. Because it's my heart. It's in here. It's in here, brother, to witness to people. I want them to have what I have. Sometimes I'm a little pushy, and I have to watch myself. But this is what we're talking about. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. Witness also means to be a martyr, one who bears witness of his death. Listen, you're not your own. You have been bought with a price, a high price. Jesus shed his blood on the cross. He did it all for you. When he died on the cross, he said, "It's finished." He said, "I love you this much." And he stretched out his arms and he died. 1 Corinthians 6:19, one of my favorite scriptures, it says this: "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God," what? "In your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We have to come to the place where we begin to understand that. You're not your own. You know, if God saved you, he could have took you on to heaven, but he didn't. He left you here to be a witness for what he's doing in your life. Each and every day we have an opportunity to share our faith with somebody. You know, and it's not that you have to get up on a soapbox and preach to them, but it's practical things that we can do, and I'm going to give you some testimonies of what through the years where God's allowed me to be able to witness to others. You know, and one of the things we're afraid of is being rejected. A lot of times we're afraid that somebody's going to reject us. Listen, you're going to be rejected. I can tell you up front. But the good thing is, and you might witness 100 times, but that 101 time when somebody comes and you're able to lead them to the Lord, it'll change your life forever. If you never led somebody to the Lord, if you never prayed the prayer of salvation with them, you're missing out on what God wants for you. We're all to bear fruit. Scripture said that some sow and some water, but God's the one that gives the increase. We're to be about sowing, we're to be about watering, and that's the Word of God. The Word of God is a seed that's sown. And that's what we do. We begin to witness to them about what we have seen and what we have heard. It's a sign of the cross. And as Matthew 10:38 says, if anyone wants to follow, be a follower of mine, then let him take up his cross every day. Every day. And follow me. For the one who wants to save his life will lose it. But if anyone who loses his life for my sake will save it. Paul puts it another way in Galatians 2:20. One of my favorite scriptures. It says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in this flesh," he understands that God understands we're in this flesh, "I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Listen, it's inverted kingdom. It's upside down. You got to die in order to live. You're a living dead person. Go figure that one out. You're a living dead person. You're died to your own ambitions, your own desires. And I tell people all the time, you know, people quote that scripture where it says that God will give you desires of your heart. But listen, as you give God your heart, as you literally by faith give God your heart, he takes your heart and put his heart inside of you, your heart, and he puts it back in here. And your desires becomes his desires. That's the way it works. Your desires becomes his desires. Listen, there's nothing more in the heart of God is souls, is people. It's the kingdom of God is about people. So we have to die in order to live. We have to lose in order to win. We have to come to that place in our life about two things. We begin to yield and we begin to surrender our lives to God. Is it scary sometimes to witness to people? Sure it is. But listen, once you get out there and start doing it, it becomes easier and easier. And I tell people all the time, you know, to pray for divine appointments. There's a connection in the spirit. And the scripture says, don't cast your pearls before swine. In other words, don't waste your time. But if you begin to pray and ask God, say, "God, I want to connect with people. I want the ones out there that has a seed in them that's already been watered, and I want you to connect me with that person. I want a divine appointment." And what will happen? God will put them in your path. And things will begin to change. How do we get started? I'm glad you asked. Psalms 126, 5 and 6 says this. And write this down. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. He continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. Remember, we talked about seed for sowing. Shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's nothing else that you're going to take to heaven with you but people. And you have to come to this place where you understand that nothing's going to change unless you start praying. And it's praying for the lost. I'm talking about the power to be a witness. We need to come to a place where we begin to pray, number one. We need to start praying for the lost. And this is a scripture based on that. If you'll sow in tears, you'll reap with joy. When's the last time you wept over somebody that was lost? When you're moved by the Spirit. See, Jesus wants us to have compassion on people. Well, there's a lot of lost souls out there still. You know, we're having evangelists from other countries coming to the United States, which is real sad to me. They're coming here to witness for Christ. They're coming here for the lost. And how much more so should we stand up and begin to witness for Christ? But it starts with prayer. And we're going to get an opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity to start that this morning, you know, at the end of this message. When's the last time you prayed for somebody that was backslidden? There's a lot of backslidden Christians. I see them every day. I talk to them every day. There was a guy that came up here to the church the other day, saved, but he's backslidden, just in a bad spot. You know, and I prayed with him, believed God to turn around. One thing that Scripture says, even if you make your bed in hell, God is there. You can run, but you can't hide. You know. And it's better just to come on back and get healed and begin to serve the Lord. Amen? God's guarantee is this. Precious tears, precious seed, precious reward. Precious tears, it's a language of tears. As we begin, so Lord, move on my heart. Give me a heart for the lost. Move on my heart. Let me begin to pray for the lost. Let me begin to be moved on by your Spirit. Let me feel what you feel, Jesus, when somebody's lost. Listen, hell's not a good place at all. It's a place of torment. You know, I have people tell me, well, I don't care if I go to hell or not. It's going to be a big old party down there. I'm going to be partying with my friends. Listen, it's not going to be that way. That's not what Scripture teaches. It says you're going to be in outer darkness. You're going to be separated from God. You're going to be tormented. It's not a good place at all. And God does not wish that any would go there. And we have to begin to line our will up with Father's will, that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's Father's will, that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And start praying that way. I love this next scripture, Psalms 28. The scripture that I got a long time ago, we had an evangelist that was actually evangelist to Africa. She gave us this scripture to start praying. This is a prayer that you can, a scripture you can use in your prayer time. Because it has to do of asking God. It says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possessions. And that's a heart cry. It's the Lord, I want to see people coming into the kingdom. I want to see my inheritance, because that's your inheritance is people. That's all you're going to take with you, like I said. And this is one of the scriptures that we use in prayer. Here's a little cartoon I pulled up. Proverbs 14:25 says, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. The true witness, repent of your sins and ask Jesus into your heart. A deceitful witness, well, you can still be bad and make it to heaven. I do it all the time. You see that all the time. And all the times that I witness to people out there, I asked them, if you die today, would you go to heaven? You know what the 99% of the response was? I hope so. I hope so. See, you already know. And that's what I would tell them. Well, you need to know. I know if I die today, I would go to heaven. And I would begin to, it was an open door for me to begin to minister to them. And we need to begin to do that more and more. And I had an incident one time. This friend of mine, I used to be a welder. I worked in a welding shop, and I was actually out in the field, but I had to go to the welding shop to take some material up there and get it made. And I stopped by this one buddy of mine, his welding booth, and I walked inside, and he said, "Man, how you doing?" I said, "Man, I'm doing great, man. I got remarried. I'm going to church now, and man, God's just moving in my life and turned things around, and you know, everything's real good." And he said, "Well, I'm not doing good at all." He said, "Man, I can't even get out of my house." He said, "I don't know what's wrong." He says, I'm having these panic attacks, these anxiety attacks, and this fear grips my heart. And I began to tell him, I said, "Donnie," I said, "that's not normal." I said, "That's of the enemy. It's the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power and love and sound mind." And I just gave him the word, the spoken word of God. And I turned around to walk out of that booth because I had to go back to my block. And he comes and he literally grabs my shirt, my khaki shirt, and pulls me by into the booth. He said, "You're not going anywhere. You're gonna tell me some more." You know? And it just floored me. You know, I thought, wow, this, you know, something made a connection there in the spirit realm. And I began to tell him, "Listen, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. The fear that you're experiencing is a tormenting fear from the enemy. And he's wanting to take you out, Donnie." I said, "If it would be me, I would start going back to church. I'd get my life right with God." And the next Sunday, he came to church and got baptized and got his life back. See, that's, and the Lord showed me in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, that it says that the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharp. Cuts between the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow, and shows the intents of the heart. There was a pricking of his heart that day because of the word of God going forth. Listen, don't ever think that you're not making a difference when you speak the word of God in love. You know, you can actually cut somebody's ear off with the word of God. You can wield the sword of the word of God and actually cut their spiritual ear off where they don't hear you. And that's why we have to walk in the compassion and the love of Jesus. Amen? Because they need to hear. You have words to eternal life. Think about it. You can save a soul from going to hell. You have the words of eternal life if you'll just use them and you apply them in love. Amen? Oop, went too far. Go to Acts 26. Let's read a little bit. We're still in the book of Acts. Acts 26. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Acts 26, verse 12. This is talking about Paul the Apostle's conversion. Paul had a spiritual experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul thought he was doing the right thing. He'd been taught the five books of the Bible. He was a Jew, and he served God. But he began to arrest Christians and throw them in jail, brother. He began to do things wrong. And he begins to get thrown in jail after his conversion. And this picks up with King Agrippa. He's thrown in jail and he's go before the king. Let's read verse 12. It says, "While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the gods?' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes.'" And this is what the point I want to come to open their eyes in order to turn from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus tells us this Jesus tells us in another place that it's a Satan who comes to blind their minds, their eyes. They have ears they can't see. Their eyes they can't see. They have ears they can't hear. And Satan comes to blind their mind. And this is what this is talking about. To open their eyes in order to turn from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who sanctify by faith in me. When we begin to speak the word of God, it begins to do something in the spirit realm. We begin to witness to them. There becomes this thing that begins to take place. It's just like what happened to Paul, Saul of Tarsus. He had blinders over his eyes. Jesus actually blinded him, but the scales fell off after he repented and got himself right with Jesus. And it's the same thing that happens with people out there as we give them the word. Things begin to change. Amen? I had another personal experience. I was moving from one place to the other, from one plant to another plant. And I prayed. I said, God, I want to be with another Christian brother. Because I knew the place we were going, we were teamed up two at a time in these welding trucks. And we went around the plant doing different jobs. There was like eight teams, 16 people, eight, two to each team. And I was teamed up with him. And he went to the Church of Christ, you know, praise God for the Church of Christ. He was a mighty man of God. He led worship in his church. And we got along good, but I began to tell him about the Holy Spirit. I began to tell him about the power of God that I've seen and I've heard for about 2 weeks. And this guy was a Navy SEAL. He'd been in some bad battles. They would go out on recon missions and had some things happen. And this was years ago, but it still bugged him. And he began to just open up. You know, it was a privilege for me to be there that day. Because he began to open up, began to share what he'd been through. And he began to open up. And I started praying for him. And all of a sudden, it was 9 o'clock in the morning, just like on the day of Pentecost. They got drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. They got drunk in the Spirit. They thought they were drunk on wine, but they were drunk in the Spirit. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was just simply laying my hands on him, praying over this guy. And he goes like this over the steering wheel. And then he goes back, and I kept praying. And it was, you know, about break time, about that time that he came, we was in the parking lot. And as I was praying for him, it's like the devil was trying to interrupt what was going on. And people on the walkie-talkie got on there was trying to interrupt what was going on. So I threw the walkie-talkie down because they thought he was sick, because he looked like he was sick because he was slumped over. And then somebody opened the door, you know, said, "Hey, is he okay?" I said, "Yeah, he's fine." And I didn't realize what was going on at that time. And after it was all said and done, I realized something supernatural took place in this guy's life. He goes, "Man," he said, "I feel so pure before the Lord right now." He said, "I am numb all over. I never seen anything like it." And he was drunk, bro. He was drunk, but he wouldn't drink it. He was drunk on new wine. It was a supernatural thing that took place in that truck that day. And I looked at him. He was like a little puppy dog. You know, he was just like, he said, "Man, I'm numb all over. My legs are numb." He said, "I never felt God like this." God showed up. God showed up. You know? And I said, "Man, you too drunk to drive." I said, "Move over." You know? And I get out of the truck and I go around. And he can't even move. He just stuck to the seat. He can't even move. And he's trying to put his safety glasses on. And he's missing his face. And he keeps going back and forth. Finally, I get him over. And we drove off. And he starts singing then. Woo! And he had a beautiful voice. And I tell you, for all day long, this guy stayed drunk in the Spirit. All day long. I never seen anything like it. You know? But it was a sign and a wonder from God, because he needed that. He needed a touch from the Lord. What if I wouldn't have done that? What if I wouldn't have stepped out in faith? See, it's an act of faith to step out and help somebody. What if I wouldn't have done that? What if I'd have been scared, you know, what was somebody going to say or what somebody was going to do? Listen, you got to get over that. You got to dive on in with this thing and see what God does. Just like Don said, most of the miracles that Jesus did was out of the four walls of the church. It was in the highways and the byways. And I can tell you story after story how that began to take place in my own life, my own personal life. Acts 22 says this. You can turn there. Flip over a couple books. Acts 22, verse 14. What was it, 23? Acts 22, 14 said, then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you. I want you to put your name there. I just write your name in that Bible. I did it up there. It says that he said that the God of our fathers has chosen you, Jimmy, and you shall know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witnesses to all men of what? Of what you've seen and what you've heard. What you have seen and what you've heard. And that's one of the things that it begins to take place. You need to understand it's a process of multiplication. The more people we get witnessing, the more people are going to come into the kingdom, the more people are going to get touched. Amen? But if we shut down and we don't do it, it's not going to happen. Revelation 12, verse 10 says that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony, even unto death. Words of our testimony. I ask this every many churches about every week. I ask them, I say, what has God done in your life today? This past week? I'm trying to pull this out of them to realize that God is always working around you. He's always doing things. It's just that we're not aware of it. There's miracles taking place around us all the time, but we're just not aware of it. Amen? Acts 4:20 talks about we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, this has to do with Peter and John. They're at the gate, beautiful. They're fixing to go into the temple. And there was a lame man at the gate. And of course, we know the story. It says, silver and gold have we not, what have we done but rise and be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And they looked at him and they made contact eye to eye. And the guy got healed and he rose. And because of that, it started a ruckus in the city. And they arrested him. They threw him in jail. And they began to realize that, you know, everybody just has seen a miracle in the marketplace. And they let him go. This is one of the statements that they said. That, you know, one of the things that they understood, that they saw the apostles, that they were uneducated and unlearned men. They were just ordinary people like you and I. Listen, you don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to go to seminary or cemetery school, you know, to be able to preach the Word of God and tell people about what you've seen and heard. And that's one of the things they realized, and they made another statement, which is far better, for us to obey men or to obey God? And see, we have to come to that place in our life, which is better, to obey men or obey God? When God began by the Spirit to move on you to witness for Christ, what are you going to do? That becomes the question. Personal experience number 3. It's another awesome story that happened to me years back, but it bears witness of what we're talking about. I had moved to another location again, and I had... had this guy in there that was wiring my machine up in a shop that I was working in. And, I always try to witness to people, but this guy, he was always trying to tell me dirty jokes. You know, he's just one of them guys. He was kind of rude and crude. And I said, listen, man, I said, I don't listen to those dirty jokes. And then the next day he came back, and I guess he started asking me, what's this guy? What's wrong with him? And he said, well, everybody told him I was real religious. And so he begins to, the next day, ask me, he said, well, I heard you're real religious. I said, well, I'm not religious at all. I said, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as soon as I said that, the Holy Spirit told me, he's trying to set you up. You know, and he said, well, if Adam and Eve had two sons, where did their wife come from? And here's the Holy Spirit working inside of me, and I had enough word in me. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and begins to use you. And I said, listen, I don't know that answer. I said, but I know this one thing, what Isaiah says, that God's ways aren't our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I began to turn the whole story around. I said, well, so where are you at with God? He said, well, I'll tell you where I'm at with God. He said, when I was 19 years old, I worked in a foundry, you know, up north in Pennsylvania, and I swept floors for a living. And I met this girl, we got married, and she practiced the Muslim religion. And my son was 5 years old, and one day I was in the house, they were out in the front yard, you know, playing and stuff, and I was drinking a cup of coffee, looking out this big bay window, and all of a sudden here comes this drunk down the road. And he runs in my front yard, kills my son instantly, and my wife is still hung up underneath the car, and he drags her off down the road. And I was so mad, I ran out, and I ran down the road, and I started knocking the glass out of the car because I was going to kill the guy. You know, about the time the cops got there, and they handcuffed me. And I was devastated. I said, wow, I didn't know what to say. But see, you don't have to worry about what to say, because the Spirit of God in you began to give you the things to say. And this is what I told him. I said, listen, by the Spirit of God, this is what I told him. I said, it's the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm here today. God sent me to tell you today that your heart's been broken, that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, and your heart's been broken 17 years ago. And it's still broken today. He starts weeping. He starts crying. So this started up a whole process of me just ministering to him. Him opened the door. God opened the door for just every day. I said, got any more questions? He would come ask me questions every day. And there for 2 weeks, we went back and forth. And he had already got remarried. And he had two more sons. And he was actually going to church with his wife. But he said, I prayed a prayer, but I didn't feel nothing. And I said, well, it's not by feeling, it's by faith that you received Jesus in your heart. And he didn't understand it. I said, well, come over tonight. Bring your Bible and we'll walk through it. I mean, how many times you say that to people and you're thinking, he's not going to show up. Well, guess what? He showed up. He showed up right after work. Had his Bible with him. I mean, we went in the little room and I walked him through the whole scriptures about salvation. And then God told me to tell him about his power. And I told him about the power of the Holy Spirit. And he got filled with the Spirit of God all at the same time. What an awesome thing that God did in that guy's life. For 17 years, he was tormented by the enemy. But then he got set free. He got set free and filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? He got his heart healed. It's all about heart issues. Faithful witness. John 10, 19 and 20. And this is what I was talking about before. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about or how what you're going to speak. For it will be given to you in that hour that what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Can y'all believe that today? That's the Word of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. I have a little thing I want to read you this morning. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes, listen with the ears of your heart as I just read this in closing. Think about the day when Christ comes. There you are in the great circle of the redeemed. Your body has been made new. What you once understood in part, you now understand clearly. You feel no fear, no danger, no sorrow. Though you're one of many, it's as if you and Jesus are all alone. And Jesus speaks and asks you this question. I'm so proud of you that you let me use you. Because of you, others are here today. Would you like to meet them? Chances are we'll be surprised at such a statement. It's one thing for the Apostle Paul to hear such words. He was an apostle, or can we imagine a foreign missionary or a famous evangelist hearing these words, but us? Most of us probably wonder what influence we have. At that point, Jesus turns to the crowd and invites them to come. With his hand on your shoulder, he announces, "Do we have any here who was influenced by this child of mine?" One by one, they begin to step out to walk forward. The first is your neighbor, a crusty old sort who lived next door. To be frank, you didn't expect him to see him. And then he begins to speak. "You never knew I was watching," he explained, "but I was. And because of you, I am here." And then comes a cluster of people, a half dozen or so. One speaks for the others and says, "You helped out with the youth devotion when you were kids. You didn't open your mouth much, but you opened your home. We became Christians in your living room." The line continues. A co-worker noticed how you controlled your temper. A receptionist remarked how you greeted her every morning. Someone you didn't even remember reminded you of the time you saw her in the hospital. You came to visit a friend in the next bed, but on the way out, you stopped to speak a word of hope to the stranger who looked lonely. You're amazed of all the people from other countries that were there. After all, you never traveled to Asia, to Africa, or Latin America. But look, Cambodians, Nicaraguans, Colombians, and you ask this question, "How did I influence them?" Then Jesus reminds you of the missionaries who came your way, how you give them and they begin to thank you for giving. It's not long before you and your Savior are encircled by a delightful collection of souls. You're touched. Some you know, most you don't. But each you feel the same. You feel what Paul felt to the Thessalonians. You understand what it meant when he said, "You are our hope, our joy, and the crown we will take pride in." But Jesus isn't finished yet. He loves to save the best for the last. You see, it's your neighbors, your co-workers, the people you hardly knew, the foreigners you never knew, but there's one more group. And Jesus parts the crowd so you can see them. Your family. Your spouse is the first to embrace you. There are times when you wondered if you'd either make it. But now you hear the words whispered in your ear, "Thanks for not giving up on me." Then you come to your parents, no longer frail like the last you saw them, but robust and renewed. And they say this, "We're proud of you," they say. Next comes your children from whom you cared and over whom you prayed. They thank you. They know how hard it was and how hard you tried. And they thank you. And some of the faces you don't even recognize, you have to be told. These are grandchildren and great-grandchildren of descendants you never saw until today. They, like others, thank you for the inherent legacy of faith, and they thank you. Will such a moment occur? I'm not sure. If it does, you can be certain two things. First, is the grandeur and glory that will far outstrip the description of the words can carry. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, that no one has even imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Second, in such a moment a reunion occurs, you can be certain you won't regret any sacrifice you made to the kingdom of God. The hours of service for Christ, you won't regret them. The money you gave, you'd give 1,000 times over. Only one thing counts, and that's people. You change the diapers, you would prepare the meals, you prepare the lessons. One look in the face of those who you love, and you'll do it again in a heartbeat, a heavenly heartbeat. Acts 1:8 says you receive power to be a witness for Christ. Can I have the ushers come up for a minute and hand out these cards? Real quick, just give one to everyone. These are harvest cards. These are tools that God used to help us to win the loss. And take one of these. There's 5 blanks on there. It says, the scripture says, "Lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they're ready for harvest. And the harvest is bountiful, but there is a few laborers. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send laborers into the field." Listen, guess what's going to happen as you do this? You're going to become the laborers that go into the harvest as you begin to pray over people. And I want you to just think of somebody, maybe somebody in your family that's not saved. Maybe somebody that's backslidden. Maybe somebody that your co-worker at work. Somebody, a friend that you know that's not saved. And I want you to put their name on this list. And if you don't know anybody, I've got some names I'll give you. So you're not getting away with none of it. I got a guy named Nathan that I know is not saved. He came to church a couple weeks ago. We've been constantly praying for him. Lost as a goose. He don't think God exists. He started talking about aliens the other day. Kind of freaked us out, you know. But this is where this kid's at. I got a Justin. I got a Zach. I have an Andy. Aaron. A girl named Brittany. An Evan. A girl named Mallory. I got a Julia and a Skylar and a Fiona. Nathan, Justin, Zach, Andy. Write these names down if you don't know anybody. Aaron, Brittany, Evan, Mallory, Julia, Skylar, Fiona. I'm going to give you a few minutes to fill that out. Then we're going to pray. We're going to pray and believe God for souls this morning. Amen? Can y'all do that with me? Very, very important. You get, like I said, how you get started. This is how you get started. I'm giving you some practical things to do this morning to get started. And I want you to take these and start praying over them every day until you see them come into the kingdom. Amen? Can you do that? Don't just take these home. I want you to take them with you. And then we're going to pray over those that you wrote down. Maybe you have a child that's wayward, that's backslidden. Maybe you have a cousin or aunt or uncle that you know that's not saved, but you're not real sure. Let's just believe God as we pray this morning that something's going to happen in the spirit realm. Amen? Brother, why don't you come up and just kind of do a little background worship music for us as we pray this morning. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll grab it from up
there. It says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're ready for harvesting. And the harvest is bountiful. This is what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. And there's still a lot of people out there that are unsaved. But there are a few laborers. Listen, it's like I said, it's a process of multiplication. We have to begin to multiply and begin to pray. Pray to the Lord to send the harvest, and he shall send laborers into his field. John 4, 35, Matthew 9, 37, and 38. Thank you, Lord. How many of you know prayer changes things? Prayer changes things. Listen, we have to understand the way the kingdom is set up. Remember I told you it's upside down? It's inverted kingdom. Nothing's going to happen unless we pray. Even for ourselves, we have to pray. Constantly. Pray without ceasing. Constantly. There's a connection in the spirit realm as we begin to pray. Got some names there. You can even put Mickey Marcy's face that goes to the mission field. Pray for the lost there as well. Yours filled out. You got one name or you got five? I got some on the back of mine. I've just used this, but I'll show you mine. I got some on the back too. I'm on the front. Let me just ask you to come in and agree with me as he begins to softly play. Let's pray. It says, Father, I'm asking you to send laborers into the field where my loved ones, friends, and acquaintances are living. I'm believing to see these precious people brought into your kingdom. So, Father, as we just join together, my prayer is for my neighbors, Mark and Brandy. Lord, I don't know if they're saved, but I don't think so. I'm asking you to move on their hearts this morning. I ask that as we would pray Psalms 2:8, not only on this prayer request, but others, you said to pray and claim your inheritance. Lord, we're claiming souls for the kingdom of God this morning, where we want to see people come in for such a time as this. Lord, we know that time is running short, and we need to move with your spirit. As Lord, as we would just begin to lift these names up for Lisa and Joshua, who I met at a restaurant. I don't even know who they are. I don't know if they're saved or not. But Lord, I ask you to move on their hearts. I thank you for Aaron and Brittany and Elvin and Josh. Lord, I know they're not saved. They're in darkness. I'm asking to bring them out of the darkness into your marvelous light. We claim their souls according to Psalms 2:8, that the heathen is in our inheritance. And Father, we thank you for Wayne and Doris as well, who my neighbor. I know they know you, but Lord, I'm asking to send them to a church somewhere that they would get plugged in these last days. And Father, I thank you for my other neighbors around that I don't even know that we witnessed to. We gave some cards to them the other day, and I'll just pray for their souls as well. And Lord, I don't even know their name, but you know who they are. We ask for just for connection. I ask just for divine appointments to come in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for Mallory, for Julia and Skylar. We thank you for Julia, Skylar, and Fiona. Lord, they're saved, but they're struggling. The enemy is trying to pull them back into the darkness. But today I ask in Jesus' name, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Lord, you said you're married to the backslider. Lord, I ask you to interrupt their life. Let them have a road to Damascus experience with you, Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would pull them back. And we ask it in Jesus' name that you would just come in might and power your spirit. Convict their hearts, pull them back out of that darkness and into this marvelous light. And I pray for those that the names that are there on our list that others have wrote this morning. That Father, you would do the same thing, that you would come and begin to do a mighty work. Let the winds of the Spirit of God begin to blow in this place. Let the rain descend now that would begin to water every part, sir. So, Lord, you said you give seed to the sower. I'm asking to give a seed to sow and then in water to water those that are out there. Lord, give us divine appointments, even at work and our family, Lord, even our neighbors. Let us be willing to step out in faith as we begin to trust you and you alone. If there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know the Lord, give you this opportunity just to come to him this morning. If you don't know the Lord and you're here this morning, you say, Jimmy, I never experienced that. I never experienced coming out of the darkness into the light. If that's you this morning and you want to accept Christ in your life, you want to accept Jesus in your heart, how does he do it? I don't know. He just supernaturally does it. He begins to open our eyes. He begins to pull the deafness off our ears. Because it's Satan who comes to blind the minds of those that are out there. If that's you this morning, just look at me just for a moment, please. Their eye closed. I think we're in a household of faith this morning. Amen. Take these. Don't take this lightly. Don't take this message lightly. It's not another message. This is about souls. This is about winning souls. Amen. Take these, what you wrote down, and take them, begin to pray over them daily. We have to persevere in prayer. If we don't pray, nothing's going to happen. People are going and dying to hell and going to hell every day. We need to stop what's going on. Amen? We need to make a stand. We need to witness by the power of the Holy Spirit of what we've seen and heard. Amen? And you'll see God do the miraculous, the mighty deeds that you see in the book of Acts. He'll begin to do in your life. How many of us want to be used by God? I do. I still want to be used by God. There's nothing like it. Nothing like leading somebody to the Lord. Nothing like laying your hands on somebody and they get healed. Brother, that's all I have. Go ahead and just lead us in worship now. Thank you. Let's just stand and worship the Lord.